Well, welcome to the Arrow Heights Podcast, broadcasting live from Arrow Heights Baptist Church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. My name is Ryan Smith.
My name is Nathan Copeland.
And I'm Josh White. Feliz Navidad, mis amigos.
Feliz Navidad? What?
No, Feliz Navidad.
Oh, you ever seen the Dave Barnes version of that song?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Is it? Yeah. Dave Crowder.
Yeah. Feliz Navidad's a very underrated Christmas song.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty funny whenever you do. We had a staff Christmas party last. You guys remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And had the people doing the Feliz Navidad, and it was the most. They were probably the most uncomfortable group that we put up there. I was like, I'm gonna pick this song for this group doing karaoke. And it's like,
but it's fairly repetitive.
That's right.
Once you go through it the second time, you're like, yeah, we pretty well got it.
Yeah, my little Eli, he was all about it though, man. Yeah. He was going to town. Yeah. So, and then you hit, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and everybody knows the song. So,
yeah
it was pretty great.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Felicidad.
What does that mean?
That's right.
I've said it many times.
Prosperous New Year and happiness is like direct.
So it's a New Year's song.
Yeah. Well, it's like Merry Christmas, Prosperous New Year, and happiness, or Happy New Year, basically, is what it says.
So it's only a half Christmas song.
Yeah, a little half and half.
That's why it's an underrated Christmas song.
Until you get to English, because then there's nothing about Happy New Year in the English section, right?
That's deceptive.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you. From the bottom of my heart. Yeah, there's nothing about a new year.
Hmm.
That's right. Subliminal advertising.
And then you chose Mariah Carey for my group.
That's right.
Which you crushed that. I was surprised that you brought out the wig. And
Yeah.
That's right.
You had the whole dance down, the whole nine yards. That was very impressive.
Who knew Pastor Nathan Copeland could boogie? And he'd boogied.
And if you all listeners believe that, then.
But we're Baptists, so, you know, just so long as you keep one foot on the ground at all times, you're okay.
Function
with there, some unction.
There might be a video out there, and if you see it, know that it's AI.
Actually, I do have a video that I could pump into AI and have it do a little bit more interesting
Probably
things.
So.
Let's make it happen. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you're having a good lead up to your Christmas season. We've got a lot of Christmassy things happening around here at Arrow Heights. We had our Christmas caroling group go out last night. I haven't heard how that went, but I
went great.
Able to make it. Did it? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I think we had like four groups that went out. So we got to, I don't know, I'm guessing 12 or 20 houses, something like that. And I can say my group just had some great time, great interaction. And of course, just hanging out here and fellowshipping and eating some really good chili and chicken and noodles and drinking hot cocoa. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
So that's great. Appreciate the folks that kind of organized that and put that on, Janelle and them. Fantastic.
Awesome. Very cool. Awesome. We've got things like the Christmas Eve service coming up at 5 o'clock on December 24th, which is, I think, probably one of my favorite like things we do outside of Sunday morning worship stuff. Mm-hmm. Normal weekly programming. Like, it's just a sweet time. It's usually really laid back. Got lots of families there. You know, in that last moment where you light the candles and they just kind of sweep across the auditorium. It's just a really cool, just a really cool time together. And so, looking forward to that. 5 o'clock, December 24th.
Yeah.
And then Christmas on the 25th.
Indeed.
Because that's the day it happens. So.
Yeah. Now, we are not having a Christmas service on the 25th.
Nope, we are not.
Just the Christmas Eve on the 24th.
That's right. And then we will come back the next Sunday and worship together on the 28th.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah.
With no small groups.
No small groups. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah. Thank you, Nathan,
for keeping
us on task. Yeah. No small groups on the 28th or the 4th. Create some space for our volunteers. Let them enjoy a couple of weeks off of rest and come worship with us at 10:15 both those days. So sweet. All right. Well, hey, we got two questions today. Two questions. So we can talk as long as we want. Maybe this will be the longest podcast we've ever had.
Or the shortest.
It could be the shortest. Let's make it the shortest.
Could be.
Make it so, number one. Okay. First one is...
Okay. Since you said that, Lieutenant Worf.
Yeah.
In Star Trek.
Yeah.
Is it Enterprise?
I mean, there's lots of...
Or so which one?
So he Worf's in Next Generation.
Next Generation.
Actually, he's in Deep Space Nine, too.
Okay. That's the one with Picard.
Yeah, Next Generation.
Okay, Next Generation. Lieutenant Worf.
Yep.
Also plays the Sandman in the Santa Claus movies.
Totally.
I never made that connection until I saw the name. I was like, wait a second.
Yep.
In Next Generation, I mean, he's like this big, angry, what is he?
Klingon.
Klingon?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then Santa Claus, he's just a guy that just sleeps all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, man, that's some diversity in acting.
That's
anyway.
Right. That's right. He can pull it off. Probably the only acting he's done since Star Trek. Maybe.
Probably so.
We'd have to go check.
He did it well. He looked very tired.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, if you're a Star Trek fan, give us a shout. Your favorite Star Trek character, maybe. Are you Star Wars guys or are you Star Trek guys?
I mean, definitely more Star Wars, but I'm not sure if I'm a Star Wars guy compared to the real Star Wars guys around here.
Yeah. Well, I was more of a Trekkie because Dad watched Next Generation growing up. Like when I was growing up and young, so it's a lot of good memories. And then Larry and I have gone back and watched all of the Next Generation episodes. It's one of those things you just have playing in the background, and it's actually pretty crazy. You go back and watch, it's like, I remember all of these episodes. That's nuts.
Yeah.
But
anyways. I had the same thing. My dad really liked Next Generation, and so. I remember watching it with him or just hearing it going on. Yeah, we've watched all the Star Wars movies, but I wouldn't say that we are either Star Wars or Star Trek people.
No, I would agree with that. So cool. All right, well, the first question is, the Christmas season starts after Thanksgiving. Duh. Like, I would just say absolutely it does after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So when in the world does it end? This seems like a very easy question to me.
Well, what's your answer then?
At 11:59 p.m., whenever the clock rolls over to midnight on December 25th. So December 25th to December 26th, you're done Christmas.
Whoa, like, that was my initial thought.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Mm. See, but there's a reason that those are tied together. So I'm going to say the Christmas season ends 11:59 on December 31st.
Fascinating. Why?
Because the season itself is still kind of going up. People are still taking off. There's kind of, it's still the holidays until really you get to New Year's Day and then it's over. And New Year's Day is in and of itself what it is. New Year's Eve, whatever. But I think that's an extension. Like you wouldn't take, well, I don't know. We wouldn't take our Christmas tree down December 26th. We'd leave it up a little bit longer. But the new year would probably start to be like, okay, we've turned a page.
Gotcha.
And I think that page is the Christmas season.
I probably won't fight you on that. I do think it takes some time for us to be weaned off of the Christmas spirit. And so it probably does take some
doesn't
people
take you much
two
time.
Or 3 days. No, no. Like sometimes we get home from Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve or Christmas night, and it's like, should we take the tree down? Probably so. And we take it down. De-Christmasification of the White House. Mm-hmm. So
I think you give it one good hug on Christmas Day, you hold on to it, then you a sweet parting wave off into the distance.
See, I'm not anti-Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not. I'm just anti-Christmas outside of its context. Mm. So I'll give you to the 31st, sure.
Well, I will see y'all's American westernized commercialism and raise you a church calendar. January 6th is the end of Christmas.
Okay.
Why? It's Epiphany.
Okay.
Yeah. I was accused of being an Anglican recently, by the way. Hmm. I was talking about church calendar stuff. I said, "Are you? You must be an Anglican." No, I'm not an Anglican. I've known a few good Anglicans. I am a Baptist, daggone. But I do know the church calendar a little bit, and January 6th is Epiphany, or the Sunday closest to it, which I guess next year would be the 4th, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So, you know, there are 12 days. From Christmas to Epiphany, the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay.
So I guess I'm not really an Anglican because in our house, following the lead of my wife, we start celebrating Christmas early. So anyway, there's not 12. There's more like 40 days of Christmas, I'm not sure. But traditionally, before all the commercialization that Charlie Brown and Linus were so concerned about, it was 12 days of Christmas starting on Christmas Day. And then I guess the Epiphany has to do with revelation, and it has to do with the star leading the wise men. So that's kind of when they the church calendar people, not that we really celebrate the church calendar very closely, but that's when they celebrate the Magi showing up and the star guiding them. Because Epiphany means revelation. Christ is revealed. And of course, it's a great way to conclude the Christmas season because he reveals God's love and we are to walk in his light. That's the end of Christmas season, January 6th.
Okay. All right.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, if you could tie it to scripture and tie it to church history, sure, why not?
It's about when the football season ends, college football. So yeah, I'm,
that's right.
I can do that. It's about when people go back to school. So
New Year's is weird though. Maybe we can talk about it whenever it gets closer. So it does. Does it feel like a holiday to you guys, or is it more of like a like a celebration? Like what's your perception of New Year's? Like,
to me, it's kind of gone the way of, as far as just feel and personal involvement, kind of the way of Halloween. Like, I know that some people enjoy it and, like, you know, yeah. Well, and there's some elements of it. They're like, oh, okay. Or Reformation Day, I should say. I'm not gonna stay up till midnight. I'm not gonna make a resolution. I don't think that something amazing really happens in the air as the clock, whatever, and Jimmy Fallon dances. It's a day.
I like New Year's because I kind of like the idea of resolutions. Mm-hmm. Not that I really resolve much, and not that it really sticks very well, but I like the idea of saying, okay, kind of reset, start again kind of thing. And I mean, I know you can do that anytime. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord, we can do that anytime, right? The gospel mm-hmm. allows us to start over.
Yeah.
But
diets start on Monday.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And those that don't start on New Year's.
That's right.
So yeah, I like kind of the idea of setting goals and kind of having sort of a plan for the new year. So maybe that's just me, but again, I don't take it too seriously, but I do like the idea of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's a helpful line of demarcation.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Cool. Maybe we'll talk more about it when we get there. Mm-hmm. Resolutions and such. So, but we won't rush past Christmas because Christmas mm-hmm. has its holiday, right?
Mm-hmm. So we'll all enjoy 12 it. Days of it.
That's right. Cool. Good deal. Well, we all have different answers, and I think that's okay in this sense. So if you have an opinion on this, do please text the podcast and let us know, and we will tell you how you are either right or wrong, or we don't care. So cool. All right, next question. This is an interesting one.
Also a bit of a warning for parents.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Good call. Yeah, this is a question about is Santa Claus, and at this time of year, some parents may not want their young ones hearing us discuss Santa Claus, all the secrets. So, yeah, parental discretion.
Good caveat. Well done. I was going to run headlong into it. So, yeah, if you want to maintain your children's innocence. I don't know. We'll talk about that in a second. But
that's the question.
That is the question. That's right. Yeah. Well, you can hit pause and listen to this without their innocent ears tuning in. Sorry. All right. So the question is, pause for effect. How should a Christian family handle Santa Claus? Is there a way to participate without harming our credibility as parents while teaching our children the truth? And I assume that means the truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Or the truth of Santa Claus? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's a really good question because I like that parents are concerned about a holistic raising of their kids, and that there are things that we do outside of the gospel that impact our gospel witness. So I would encourage any parent that the way you handle Santa Claus is not going to definitively in your child's mind shape the gospel for them, but it could. And I understand that sensibility. My wife and I, when we had kids, that was a discussion that we had, that we sought wisdom. And, you know, there's something beautiful about that. You use the word innocence, you know, but that childlike quality where you watch them enter into that space of wonder, and you know, you kind of get to re-experience that through their eyes, and that's a beautiful thing. At the same time, that's not worth compromising the gospel if that would do so. So I can just say the way that we have chosen to handle it. The question is Santa Claus real? We say, well, he's a real character. Just like Mickey Mouse is a character. And when we go to Disney World, you're like, hey, you know me, but we know that that's not a real, it's a we just kind of enjoy him as a character from the holiday season. Also use it as an opportunity to say, well, where did this come from? Well, St. Nicholas, and talk about St. Nicholas and who he was and who he punched. And
amen.
But yeah, for us, we because there is kind of a close tie of a one-to-one between Jesus coming at Christmas and Santa coming at Christmas. We never wanted to color that in any doubt, but we also wanted our kids to enjoy the Santa wonder and Santa time, and so we treat Santa like a character.
Yeah, I think I've heard one parent say the way that they were handling it is they frame it in the context of it's okay to make believe. You know, and it's okay, just exactly the way that you said it. Like, it's okay to point to this character. I like the way that you said that. Like, just that he's, you know, it's fun to make believe that this is actually what happened, but it's not necessarily real. Mm-hmm. And so, rooted in some aspect of reality, but there's no guy coming down our chimney. Like, that's a little creepy, actually. If you think about it, like, it's a little bit creepy. So our kids figured it out early. Like, we didn't even have a decision, like a choice to deceive or not. Like, we weren't even wrestling with that because Caleb was just like, not real, not real. And then Eli, I don't know that he ever believed. He's like, you guys are full of it. This is not even a thing. Like, I know you wrapped these in your room. And so, like, we totally, like, you know, gaslighting's a thing, right, since COVID. And so, like we still like, oh, he's real. Like, we totally laying on thick, and they just roll their eyes. So it's never even really been a point of conversation for us. So
no, that's exactly right. That's really good. I think, to me at least, it provided an opportunity to do two things. One, draw that contrast, you know, because it is Christmas and we're supposed to be celebrating Christ, but then there's all the Santa Claus stuff, to say, hey, listen, the Santa Claus thing is a make-believe story, and it's fun, and it's okay, but here's the real thing, and to really try to draw that contrast very clearly. And I love how you drew that out in the sermon even yesterday. In those days, you know, this is something that really, really happened. There's an apologetic value to understanding the kind of earthy historicity of this story, that he really did come to earth and live among us and die on the cross and was raised 3 days later. Mm-hmm. That's our hope. At the same time, it provides an opportunity to, I guess, kind of talk to one's children about other children and say, listen, we understand that there are certain, there are other kids who do believe Santa Claus is real. And it's not our place necessarily to kind of burst that bubble and spill the beans. Now, some of my kids did better at that and were more sensitive than others. But again, to just talk to them, say, especially at church, man, these are our church friends. And as I always told my kids, I still tell my kids, hey, church friends are special friends. Maybe not necessarily your best friends all the time, but they're church friends. We're called to love them and to encourage them and to be one with them in the gospel and in this local body. So we want to be careful about how we talk about these things. We'll let their parents tell them Santa's not real. So
that's right. Oh man, don't beat around the bush at all, man. Oh, man. It's like, yeah, it's great. It's always funny when you find that one like seventh grader that you're just like, they're like, and I'm just like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like you say something and their eyes just kind of like glaze over and you're like, oh snap, what did I do?
I'm gonna get
yeah, that's right. I love you this much.
Yeah.
How have you gone this long and not known? But
yeah. It's a good impulse to ask the questions. I think as society becomes more and more secularized, it's a question that parents are asking more and more. I don't know that it was a question that my parents asked back in the day, because they did do the Santa Claus. They did the whole nine yards. My dad put the boot in the chimney stuff. My grandpa would go on the roof and, you know, and I loved it. Mm. I loved it. And it never, you know, it didn't caused me to doubt the gospel at all, but I understand these are different times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I feel like, but and maybe it's just me getting older, right? But it's like I don't feel like the Santa Claus thing is as big a deal as it used to be. Like, do you kind of feel that? Like the whole like play make believe. Like, I don't think parents are do parents still
parents are
really
lazy.
Like really
parents that, are lazy
and that's
these days.
And that's the truth, right?
And I'm because among them.
Well, you've got movies like Elf, right? I mean, that's the whole point. Like, they just don't believe. Like, the world doesn't believe anymore. Yeah. And maybe that's where we are right now.
Well, you have to find some way to explain all the Amazon boxes.
It's very true. Hey,
Santa sent him early.
That's right. He's just gotten smart and uses Amazon. Yeah,
he moved from the North Pole to the Amazon. That's where he goes during the day.
That's right. Santa in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts. And yeah, anyways.
Yeah, I don't know if it's become less or just... You know, my kids are kind of out of that phase. Yeah. We don't hear about it, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Good deal. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Arrow Heights podcast. Don't forget about all the Christmassy stuff we got coming up. If you got questions about that, feel free to shoot the number a text, and we will answer those questions either on the podcast or via text if that is applicable. The number is 918-280-9628, and we'll talk to you next time on the Arrow Heights podcast.